from LPM,
Louisville Public Media.
Support for LPM podcasts comes from the Eye Care Institute and Butchertown Clinical Trials, where they strive for diversity, equity, and inclusion within their staff, patients, and clinical trial participants. To learn more, visit butchertown.clinic.
As we head into the Memorial Day weekend, more of the coronavirus restrictions imposed by Kentucky Governor Andy Beshear will be relaxed. Starting today, people can gather in groups of up to 10. The travel ban expires, and restaurants can open their dining rooms if they meet certain requirements.
We want to reopen our economy. We want to get things humming again in a safe way. This weekend, we can't screw it up.
I'm Rick Howlett. Today on In Conversation, we'll talk about the phased-in reopening of the restaurant industry with Stacy Roof, president of the Kentucky Restaurant Association, and chef and restaurateur Ed Lee. Amy McNatt of the Doe Anderson Advertising Agency joins us. She has some predictions on how the coronavirus pandemic will shape future consumer behavior. And we want to hear from you. Call us with your questions and comments this hour on In Conversation on 89.3 WFPL and Kentucky Public Radio. Welcome to In Conversation. I'm Rick Howlett. Well, effective today, Kentucky restaurants can reopen their dining rooms. They're limited to 33% of capacity at any given time and have to meet numerous sanitary and social distancing requirements to prevent the spread of coronavirus. Some are being allowed to expand their outdoor dining areas into streets or parking lots. Today, we're going to talk about the next steps for the restaurant industry and how all this will affect us as consumers in general. Joining us are Kentucky Restaurant Association President and CEO Stacy Roof. The KRA was established nearly 60 years ago to represent the state's restaurant industry and has almost 1,000 members. Stacy, welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me.
Also with us is chef and restaurateur Edward Lee. Ed is the chef owner of 610 Magnolia, the Wine Studio, Milkwood, and Whiskey Dry in Louisville, and culinary director for Succotash in National Harbor, Maryland, and Washington, D.C. His Lee Initiative, in conjunction with Maker's Mark, launched the Restaurant Workers Relief Program when the outbreak began and the restaurant shutdowns began, and that has now transitioned into the Restaurant Reboot Relief Program. We'll talk about all that in a moment. Chef Lee, welcome to the program. Good to have you.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Also with us is Amy McNatt from Doe Anderson Advertising Agency, where she's Senior Vice President and Director of Strategic Planning. Doe Anderson was founded here in Louisville more than a century ago. She's been thinking and talking about how this pandemic will shape future consumer behavior and our behavior and attitudes in general. Amy, good to have you with us. Welcome to the program.
Hi, thank you.
And later, we're going to hear some of your voice memos you've been sending us about the reopening of businesses and the economy and how you're emerging from healthy at home. We also want to hear from you and take your phone calls. Call us with your questions and comments at 502-814-TALK, 502-814-8255. You can send us a tweet at WFPL News, and we're on Facebook. You have a question or comment for our guests. Are you a restaurant owner or manager who's reopening today? We'd like to hear how it's going or how it's going to go, do you think? Do you have concerns about safety? Do you think it's too soon, not soon enough? What do you think? Will you go out to a restaurant or reserve a table this holiday weekend? Again, 502-814-TALK is our number, 502-814-8255. And I should say, as we talk about the reopening of the economy, we are mindful that this is a very difficult time still for many people, a time of grief for those who have lost loved ones to COVID-19 and others who are dealing with the serious illness of a family member or friend. And our thoughts are with you as we have this conversation about moving forward with this next phase of reopening the economy. Stacy Roof, Kentucky Restaurant Association, let me start with you. Dining in is now allowed at Kentucky restaurants. It's in effect now, I assume. It's early still, but what are you hearing so far? How's it going?
So far, so good. I've been to a few places this morning, and they're upbeat and ready and serving people. I've witnessed carryout orders and diners that are dining in at tables that are spaced, and you know, happy faces from the servers and managers. So I think, you know, I think we're all ready to do this in a healthy and thoughtful way, with respect to knowing that customers can choose whatever is right for them at this time.
What are you hearing from your members? Do you have a general idea of how many are reopening today, or how many are choosing to wait either because of safety concerns, or maybe it's just not financially feasible to operate at limited capacity?
Sure. I think around two-thirds or so have chosen to open up today in their dining rooms and or their patios. And some have chosen maybe to keep the dining room closed at this point and really just open up outside options, knowing that people kind of want to stick their toe in and see how things are going. But the great thing is that they have options and they can choose to do what's best for their business. Of course, they've got all of their usual cleaning and sanitizing practices in play, and many of them have talked with their local health inspector, and of course, they're going above and beyond anything that's required of them. So I think they're ready. We're in a good place.
I was looking through the requirements from the governor's office for restaurants, and I believe it totaled some, you know, six pages. And it's quite complicated and quite an adjustment for these business people.
You're right. That has been the bulk of the questions that we've gotten the past couple of weeks. One of the things that was kind of a sticking point for a lot of our finer dining members was that the way you read it, it was extremely discouraged to not have table linens or tablecloths. And we talked to health department officials in the governor's office, and they actually decided that it's okay to have those as long as they are sanitized and cleaned properly and changed after each customer's use. And of course they are. And so that's, you know, one change that kind of came about. And just kind of going through all those questions and answering them and having them talk to their local health inspector and just finding out what their sticking points are.
Let's talk about the state of the restaurant industry in Kentucky as a whole as it stands now. What's your assessment at this point of, you know, the damage that's been done from the shutdown and the pandemic, and how long you think it will take to recover from it?
Well, the estimate for revenue is about $550 million in revenue was lost in April. So that doesn't take into account Kentucky Derby. That didn't happen because that would have been the first Saturday in May. So it's very damaging, and the operators that have hung in there and are opening up either this week or in the coming weeks, I think it's going to take a few months for them to really figure out what makes sense for them. I liken it to a large hole that they have to dig out of. So, you know, they just are going to have to figure out what works best for them to continue on with carry out and delivery. But the damage is significant, and this group is resilient. So we've seen some closures, and we'll see more. But by and large, they are, you know, just trying to figure out how to carry on and get, you know, through to the fall and winter when things may become a little less crazy.
And I was going to say there have been some casualties, unfortunately. Some have been forced to shut down.
Yes, yes. We hate to see that. But and I'm sure there will be more. Some operators will see what the next few months hold. And there are a lot of factors. There are leases to be negotiated. There are taxes to be paid and licenses to be renewed. So all of those things kind of factor into decisions that they'll have to make.
Chef Ed Lee, let's bring you in and formally introduce you. Welcome to the program again. Before we talk about the relief work you've been doing for restaurant workers, I want to ask you about your restaurant, your operations. Are you reopening your dining rooms today?
We are not. We're setting a target date for sometime in early June, hopefully. But we have a lot of staff and I just, you know, with three restaurants, there's a lot to juggle. And we're just working through logistics and redoing our training manuals and really being a little bit extra cautious. And we love to see that restaurants are open today. We wish them the best of luck. I will certainly be at a restaurant this weekend supporting and making sure that everyone that opens up is having business. And there will be a second and third sort of phase of reopening of restaurants, and we hope to be joining them all very soon.
Have you been doing carry out and delivery?
We have been doing some carry out and delivery, and I am looking very forward to never doing carry out ever again at my restaurants, because that's not what we're built for, and we just don't want to do it. We want to go back to being, you know, a fine dining restaurant and giving a full dining experience the way we're used to doing it.
Well, tell us, I know you've been offering a lot of help for restaurant workers throughout the country. Tell us about, first of all, let's start with, you got a lot going on here. Let's start with the LEE initiative and how you've been using it to launch the Restaurant Workers Relief Program, which is now the Restaurant Reboot Relief Program.
Yeah, so we, you know, March 15th, we closed all the restaurants down in all of Kentucky, and we just saw an immediate need for people who just suddenly found themselves without a paycheck, without a safety net. And you know, if we remember, it seems like an eternity ago, but, you know, it was only 2 months ago, and a lot of workers didn't know. I mean, the unemployment website was crashing. A lot of people didn't know when the checks were coming in. It was a lot of chaos and uncertainty, and we knew people were panicking, especially people in the restaurant business who, you know, many of them, you know, live week to week or month to month. And so we turned our kitchen into a relief kitchen. We were very, very fortunate to work with Maker's Mark, who seeded, funded the seed money to launch us. We got food donations from so many people, everyone from Dare to Care to the Omni Hotel gave us a ton of food donations, and we were able to feed 250 to 350 people a night for those first few weeks. The numbers tapered down a little bit, but they're kind of back up now. But we've been consistently feeding about 200 people a night for the past 2 months. And we were able to expand actually into Lexington, into New Albany, Cincinnati. We're now in 19 cities across the country. And we served over 200,000 meals to date.
We're going to take a break in just a moment. We're talking with Chef Edward Lee, co-founder of the LEE Initiative, who's launched the Restaurant Relief Program and the Restaurant Reboot Relief Program. Stacy Roof, president and CEO of the Kentucky Restaurant Association. And after a break, we're going to talk to Amy McNatt, senior vice president and director of strategic planning at Doe Anderson, who's going to be talking about her predictions for consumer behavior in the post-COVID era. But we've been gathering some of your voice memos about reopening businesses, and let's hear one of those before we go into the break.
Patsy McGuire here. I am 64 years old and I have health concerns. I had two stents put in last summer, and I feel like it's in my best interest not to get out and about. So I am working from home, plan to do that for a few more weeks, and I go to the grocery with a mask and socially distance. The hardest part for me, I don't get to see my boyfriend because he has one of his sons lives with him and he sees other family members. So we feel like it's not in our best interest to get together right now. So that's been hard, but I talk to him every day.
And that's one of the voice memos we've been receiving from you as you talk about getting back out in this post-pandemic era, this post-pandemic season here in our community and throughout this nation and world. This has affected everybody. You're listening to In Conversation on 89.3 WFPL. And hope you'll give us a call with your questions and comments about reopening the restaurant industry across Kentucky and what consumer behavior is going to be like in the weeks and months to come. Chef Edward Lee is here along with Stacy Roof from the Kentucky Restaurant Association and Amy McNatt from Doe Anderson Advertising Agency. And we'll be back with much more after a break. This is In Conversation on 89.3 WFPL.
My name's Clay Marshall. I'm co-owner of Bourbon Tango with my partner, Cherie Lanier. We're a social dance studio on Bardstown Road, and we're currently working on getting our studio ready to open. We're cleaning, we're spreading things out, we're buying disinfectant masks, thermal thermometers, all of this equipment just to be able to open our doors. And then we have to operate at a 30% capacity with all these costs. So my two questions is this. First, very simply, how are we supposed to operate at 30% capacity and still be able to pay 100% of our bills? How do we make that happen without going into huge amounts of debt that we might not ever be able to overcome? But beyond that, like, how do we face this idea that being open might cause somebody to die?
That's a voice memo from Clay Marshall as you're listening to In Conversation on 89.3 WFPL and Kentucky Public Radio. I want to remember our Kentucky Public Radio partners. We're talking about the reopening of the restaurant industry here in Kentucky with Chef Edward Lee, who co-founded the Lee Initiative and has launched the Restaurant Relief Program, which has transitioned into the Restaurant Reboot Relief Program to help restaurant workers throughout a good chunk of the country. Stacy Roof is with us, President and CEO of the Kentucky Restaurant Association, and Amy McNatt, Senior Vice President and Director of Strategic Planning for Doe Anderson Advertising Agency. She's been talking a lot about what the future consumer behavior will be like. We're going to talk with her in just a moment, but I want to address Clay Marshall's concern there, Stacy, about the great cost of doing all this due diligence that they have to, that restaurants have to do as they reopen. I'm sure it's a burden for many restaurants and many restaurant owners, and as a result, some have chosen to wait, I guess, right?
Yes, it is a burden, and you know there are a lot of costs associated with, you know, owning or leasing your spot. And then once you flip the lights on and cook the food and bring your people back, all kinds of costs associated with all of those things. And I think our operators' number one concern is for their employees and their guests. And they want to do everything, you know, with a heart to what makes the most sense, but also what's going to make everybody comfortable. To his point, you know, We're walking around and we can't see this virus and it's scary, you know. And I was telling someone the other day, all of our cues with this virus are visual. So everything, if you choose to go out to eat right now, you're going to walk into your favorite place and everything looks different, but really everything is the same, you know, in the back of the house, the food, the product. You know, it's always been cleaned and sanitized, right? But now it's just it's looked at even more closely, and we're going all the extra measures that we can. So it's just all those visual cues, you know, maybe a disposable menu, perhaps, you know, sanitizer stations and facial coverings on everybody as we come, you know, and walk around. And maybe we're watching, you know, I need to use the restroom, but I know someone went in there just a few minutes ago, so I'm going to watch and wait until they come out. And then I'm going to go, you know, my traffic pattern's going to be different. So all that to say, a lot of things that we have to take into consideration. And, you know, each operator has to make the choice of what's best for their business.
And Chef Lee, as you well know, going out to a restaurant is often more than just getting a great meal. It's about the experience, of course, enjoying your surroundings, interacting with the staff, maybe getting to meet you, Chef Lee. It's obviously going to be, you know, quite different, at least in the early going for everyone, right?
It is. And you know, the struggle that we have is that service is going to look different, but we don't want it to feel different. And we believe, at the end of the day, what we do is we, as independent restaurants, as people who care for our customers, we bring hospitality. We bring an experience. We make things memorable for our customers. And I think all restaurants are figuring out how to do that. Everything's going to look different. The procedures may be different. How to order may be different. But as long as it feels the same, as long as there's warmth, as long as there's, you know, good vibes, as the food is delicious, I think people will quickly realize that you know, everyone I talk to is missing going out to restaurants more than anything, more than sporting events, more than movies. They miss going out to a restaurant. They miss being out there getting a drink at a bar. And hopefully we can get back to doing that sooner than later.
Amy McNabb with Doe Anderson, thanks so much for waiting. Let me bring you in. You've been talking a lot lately about the next chapter in consumer behavior as the pandemic forced all of us to change many of our habits and still is. I want to talk a little bit about technology, and this, of course, affects the restaurant industry as well. It's one of included in among the seven trends as a result of the outbreak. You know, I'm one of those people who was well into adulthood when the internet became part of our daily lives, and I never really trusted it completely in the ways it could be used, you know, like video conferencing, a lot of stuff we're doing nowadays. And of course, it still has its flaws, and some people still don't have good basic service. But it's held up well during this pandemic, and a lot of the stuff we're doing, remote working, video conferencing, is going to be more heavily utilized than it was before, yes.
Yeah, that's one of the trends that we sort of identified right at the beginning of all of this was, you know, all of these digital tools have just ramped up in huge ways over the last couple of months. And really, if you look back at it, the digital age kind of started in the 70s, but it was a little bit slower to take off because learning new things is sometimes challenging. That can be a barrier to trying something. Even if you think, hey, this might make my life easier, the idea of kind of getting there can be the holdup for people. But we've seen now, of course, that COVID comes along and all of a sudden we're kind of forced to figure out how to use a grocery delivery service or how to use a grocery pickup service. My grandparents, you know, they're well into their 80s and they've not only started using, you know, grocery curbside service, but I think they've downloaded two or three of the, you know, food delivery apps onto their own phones, and they're figuring it out because they have to. And we're going to see this, you know, once you get that sort of thing sort of under your belt, once you've crossed the hurdle of knowing how to do it, you're not going to stop doing it. I mean, we all reap the benefits from it. So it's been an interesting time to see all of these digital tools really just sort of explode in the last couple of months, closing what you're really describing as sort of that tech gap of people who have been sort of slow to maybe adopt some of these tools and features.
And in terms of the restaurant industry, as Chef Lee told us before, he'll be glad to stop delivery and curbside service and that sort of thing because of the way his business is set up. But others, it seems like they've taken well to it and maybe be utilizing it a lot more in the future.
Yeah, I think so. I think, you know, the challenge is for some restaurants, especially smaller independent restaurants, standing up these digital services, finding these digital solutions, it's an investment. I mean, if you're going to build something custom, then of course that is a lot of time and energy, money aside. Figuring out how to use it on the provider end is certainly a struggle in and of itself. The alternative is you find a partner that can help you, you know, deliver on some of these solutions, but that costs money too. That has its own sort of, you know, suite of headaches, if you will. So the question, again, it is always back to this very personal choice. You know, what is right for my restaurant? What is right for my business? Can I thrive without this? Or is it going to ultimately be detrimental in a sense of competition or not meeting my consumers with a service that they need if I'm not able to invest or if I don't want to take the time to do that?
You're listening to In Conversation on 89.3 WFPL. I'm Rick Howlett, and we're talking about the reopening of the restaurant industry in Kentucky, which begins today on a limited basis. Restaurant dining rooms can have 33% of capacity, and they have many other restrictions they have to follow in order to reopen today. There's some other of the more of the restrictions that were set down by Governor Andy Beshear are being lifted today. The groups can gather in up to 10 people. And also the travel restriction has been lifted, and more restrictions will be relaxed starting next week. We're talking mostly today about the restaurant industry, and with us are Stacy Roof, President and CEO of the Kentucky Restaurant Association. Chef Edward Lee owns several restaurants and operates several restaurants here in the Louisville area and elsewhere, and he has launched the Restaurant Relief Program for restaurant workers, which has now transitioned into the Restaurant Reboot Relief Program. And we've been talking as well with Amy McNatt, Senior Vice President and Director of Strategic Planning, at Doe Anderson Advertising Agency. And we want to hear what you think. Call us at 502-814-TALK, 502-814-8255. And let's go to the phone. We have a caller who wants to talk about going back to work. Oops, sorry, I lost you there. Let me try this. Hello, welcome to the program.
Hello?
Yes, are you there? Go ahead.
Yes. My question is fairly brief, but the answer I'm sure is going to be kind of complicated. This would be for the members of the Restaurant Association. As a restaurant employee, how am I supposed to feel safe? I have a lot of fear going back to work. How am I supposed to feel safe when the very things that are required from the CDC to maintain a safe workplace are by nature and design impossible in a restaurant? We have to stay closer than 6 feet together. The customers will not be wearing masks because they're going to be eating. So I'm kind of curious as to how I'm supposed to feel safe at the same time fulfill my desire to get back to work. It's an honest question. Maybe there's things I don't know, but it seems to me that we're being asked to be on the front wave of the second wave so people can go out to eat. And I want to keep these restaurants open, but maybe there's something I don't know about plans, but that's my question. How do we stay safe when we can't do the things they're telling us we need to do to stay safe? Seems like a catch-22. And there's lives on the line, like that earlier caller said.
It's really a difficult balance to strike, isn't it? Stacey, you want to respond to that?
Sure. It is complicated, and I think most operators that I know of are having those conversations with their staff members, bringing people back in waves or staggering them back as they can. And, you know, I think that in the kitchen especially there are challenges. There's not always a lot of room to work. We're just going to have to do the very best we can to distance ourselves as best we can from each other, to wear those protective face coverings, whether it's a shield that allows you to breathe better because kitchens can get really hot, whether it's, you know, a mask or a facial covering of another nature. I think they have to be cloth otherwise if they're not a shield. And really communication, just talking to, you know, your owner, your manager, and letting them know your concerns. I know that the operators that I've talked with are trying to put or get feedback from their employees as to who wants to come back now, who wants to wait a little bit, who wants to come back later. And so, you know, there's no magic bullet. It's a very complicated issue, and one that each operator and each staff member have to address together.
You know, this is tough from a mental health standpoint for everyone. Chef Lee, you've been working with a lot of folks that have been affected by the fallout and the economic fallout from all this. What generally how have they been doing from a mental health standpoint? Restaurant work is hard physically anyway. It can also be very difficult on the psyche, even when times are good. How are folks doing generally in the restaurant industry?
It's hard. People are depressed. I've had conversations. I mean, I'm depressed. We as restaurant workers, our livelihoods, our passion, everything we do is in restaurants. We love, like, just to have my restaurant and not see a customer walk through in the past 2 months is heartbreaking. And then, you know, I look at my staff. I was able to keep my salaried staff intact, but all the hourly staff that I had to lay off and to see them go through struggles. There is no right answer. But I also know that there's no wrong answer. Every single person has their own level of comfort, has their own level of faith in the system. Every single restaurant that I've spoken to, every operator is going above and beyond in creating a safe, coordinated effort. Procedures and we will be back. The only thing I can say to people that are worried out there is that statistically the numbers are on our side. The restaurant business is as clean as it ever has been. And we are going to, I think as a group effort collectively, we're going to make sure that we do everything possible that there are not outbreaks at restaurants, because one outbreak at even one restaurant will affect the perception of all the restaurants. Yeah. And so every single operator I know is going above and beyond to make sure that they aren't the ones that have an outbreak. And that should instill a lot of faith in consumers that we are taking this so seriously. This is not just about our restaurant anymore. It's about the entire industry. And no one wants to jeopardize the entire industry.
And Amy McNatt, that brings us back to you, because this is one of the trends that you're predicting is really a more mindfulness about being prepared, right?
Yeah, we actually we dug a lot into sort of this idea of what expectations will people have coming on the other side of this in terms of organizations like restaurants, like retail shops, really to sort of make sure that there is prevention and preparedness built in to the model. So you don't want to go into a restaurant, you don't want to go into a retail environment and suddenly have an uneasy feeling like, okay, now I'm unsafe, or this doesn't feel like they're taking it seriously. You really want to see your feelings of, around preparedness be matched by the business that you're supporting or visiting.
And also, you another one of your trends is ambient wellness, and we've been talking about the, not only the physical health of people, but the mental health of people and overall wellness going forward and coming out of this pandemic.
Yeah, ambient wellness is something that's actually really taken off. You know, this is a trend that's been on the rise for probably the last, you know, 5+ years. And what we're seeing is twofold. One is a real sort of acknowledgement that your environment contributes a lot to your health. You know, even to have a conversation about mental health is certainly something I don't know would have happened even, you know, 10 or 15 years ago. But the reality is people right now are hyper-focused on sort of taking care of their health. You know, we are all, you know, newly anointed germaphobes. There's hand sanitizer everywhere. We're clinging to it. That will start to dissipate. But, you know, what instead people are going to look for is products and services and business that kind of solve that problem for you. So is there a way that wellness can be embedded into my life through a product like restorative clothing, for example, or installed products that sanitize a room using, you know, ultraviolet technology? All of this stuff is going to have to emerge to meet that consumer need of, I want to feel like this is a safe space. I want to feel like I'm taking care of myself. I want to feel like I'm doing what's right, you know, for my health and well-being, but make it easy for me. You know, I don't want to have to work too hard at it.
We're talking with Amy McNatt from Doe Anderson Advertising Agency, along with Stacy Roof, President and CEO of the Kentucky Restaurant Association, and Chef Ed Lee, about the reopening of the restaurant industry and other topics here in Kentucky, here on In Conversation on WFPL and Kentucky Public Radio. Let's hear from another of our voice memos about the reopening of the economy.
Hi, this is Ed Hammerbeck in Louisville, and I don't know if I'm going to do that much different next week than I'm doing this week. I'd love to go get a haircut. My hair is looking pretty shaggy, but then again, I could go get some trimmers from Target and fix that problem. I'm still probably going to be real circumspect about, you know, do I really need to go to this store? Do I really need to make this trip? I'm going to use delivery and curbside and all of the other things I've been doing for the past 2 months, because I'm afraid of opening up too quickly without a vaccine and without a better idea on, you know, what the risks are. Thanks.
Thank you, Ed Hammerbeck, for your thoughts on the reopening of the economy coming out of the COVID-19 pandemic. We'll be back with much more. We'll take more of your calls at 502-814-8255 and continue our discussion with our guests on In Conversation on 89.3 WFPL and Kentucky Public Radio.
Support for LPM Podcasts comes from the Eye Care Institute and Butchertown Clinical Trials, where they strive for diversity, equity, and inclusion within their staff, patients, and clinical trial participants. To learn more, visit butchertown.clinic.
This is Karen Harold, and I will be returning safe at work. I work in a bridal shop at David's Bridal in Alterations, so much of my work is touching people and touching garments. I know we will be having our temperature taken when we enter or before we enter, and we will be required to wear gloves and masks, as far as I know, although it's really difficult to sew with gloves on. But not sure if they are requesting our clients to also wear masks and have their temperatures taken. I definitely am not going to be hanging out my usual favorite places, like bookstores and you know, museums and things like that, at least not right now. I'm going to still follow as if we are on lockdown.
Karen Harold, one of our voice memo folks who sent us a voice memo in response to our query about reopening the economy, and we're talking specifically today about reopening the restaurant economy across Kentucky. Restaurant dining rooms are being allowed to reopen today, and we're also talking about future consumer behavior on In Conversation on 89.3 WFPL and Kentucky Public Radio. Thanks for joining us. Our guests are Chef Edward Lee, Louisville restaurateur, co-founder of the Lee Initiative, and He has been helping restaurant workers affected by the coronavirus pandemic with his restaurant relief program and now the restaurant reboot relief program. Stacy Roof is with us, president and CEO of the Kentucky Restaurant Association, and Amy McNatt talking about a future consumer behavior. She's a senior vice president and director of strategic planning at Doe Anderson Advertising Agency. We want to hear from you. I'd love to hear some of you folks out in the state about your thoughts, your plans going forward this holiday weekend. Do you plan to go out to eat this weekend and support restaurants? Do you think it's too soon? Do you think it's not safe enough yet? Call us 502-814-TALK, 502-814-8255. Love to hear some from restaurateurs out there about what your plans are going forward and what you expect. 502-814-8255. We're also on Facebook, and you can send us a tweet. Our handle is WFPL News. Susan has been waiting. Susan in Louisville. Hi, Susan. Welcome to the program.
Hi. Thank you for having me on.
Sure.
Chef Edward, I want to sort of direct this to you. And first of all, I want to say you just make us proud. Thanks for all you do. You're amazing. Why is it do you think that we can't, as a society, or as, you know, Louisvillians are foodies and we love our food, and I hope that everybody that goes out there tips generously. But, you know, there may be a tornado or a windstorm or something else, and you know as well as I do that the people don't make enough living wage, and yet you're a business owner, and I respect that. So what is the long-term solution to this, where we treat our waiters and waitresses and people in the hospitality industry like we would a teacher or someone that, you know, something we value in life, without taking too much of the profit from the people? You know, we want people to open up restaurants, and the Kentucky Restaurant Association is more for, you know, I mean, they even go and lobby against minimum wage. So, I mean, I want to, mm-hmm. What do you see as how we correct this prevent it for the future?
Yeah, that's a great question, and thanks for the kind words. This is an issue with restaurants that we've been dealing with for really the past two decades. This conversation has been going on, and I think restaurants are making sort of headway in this. You know, one of the things that we have to do is we have to think about the tipping system. I mean, does it make sense, really? At 610 Magnolia, we don't have a tipping system. We all our waiters are paid in salaries. The one thing with restaurants that I will say, which is it's a very difficult thing for the public to understand, is, you know, half the workers, or not a half, maybe a quarter of the workers that work at restaurants are, you know, career people. And then everyone else in the restaurant industry traditionally has been part-time workers. So, you know, people who are going to school and want to pick up work part-time, people who are in the creative arts, dancers, writers, artists, who just need a little cash on the side to end. Typically, a restaurant has been a perfect place to have a career, but then also pick up something else on the side and some extra cash. And so there's always been this sort of cottage industry of people who, you know, are just looking for a different lifestyle, and that has attracted the restaurant industry. And those people maybe tend to live more week to week. So that's something that's very difficult to grapple with right now when we're saying that everyone needs to make a living wage. And now that we're looking at restaurants not as a part-time gig, not as something that you do when you're young while you're going to school, but actually as a full-time career. And that transition has happened in the last two decades. And so now we have to understand that we need to, like any other worker, they should be getting health insurance, dental insurance. They should have parental maternity leave, paternity leave, all these benefits that traditionally restaurant workers weren't given because they were considered sort of on the fringe. Now that restaurant work has become real and professional and has become an actual career, we have to start thinking about that. And you know, I do it as well for my restaurant. I know many, many others as well. But to bring the entire industry along, it's going to take another generation.
Stacy Roof, you have any comments about that?
No, I agree with a lot of what Chef Lee said. And I know that he's correct when he says a lot of operators do approach those employees that are long-term or that are career employees and offer them great wages, great benefits, and a lot of ways to be part of, in some cases, even ownership in the restaurant. I know that the caller said that we fight against minimum wage, which is not true. We fight for the market to dictate the wage, which I think it does quite nicely because, you know, different parts of the state, wages are different. We want operators to decide what's best for their paradigm, what makes sense for their operation. And by and large, restaurant folks are paid very well. And like Chef Lee said, there are a lot of people who it's not their primary source of income, or it's an in-between kind of thing, and there's an opportunity for them to pick up work pretty much always. It's a great place for us to fill a lot of those needs.
Let's go back to the phone. 502-814-8255 is our number. Let's go to Bill in Louisville. Let's talk about some of the terminology we are using. Hi, Bill. Welcome to the program.
Hi, thank you. First, I just want to say thanks to Chef Lee and for what he's doing. And I also say I do work in long-term health care, and there's a similar parallel with those who are on the front line in this industry with those who work in the restaurant industry. Those on the front line are often the lowest paid, and yet they sometimes are the ones who are facing the danger. So I just want to put a word in of appreciation to all of them. However, the reason I'm calling is I've heard the term post-pandemic used a few times, and to me, that seems inappropriate at this time. It's not past the post-pandemic. Pandemic. We are still in it. Maybe we could be staying post-lockdown or post-shelter-in-place or in the phase one or phase two stage, but I think to say post-pandemic at this point may be a bit premature. And just it's just a thought that I had, and maybe we need to be thinking about our terminology. So that was the reason I called.
That's a good point. Thanks for calling, Bill. And at some point, we will be in a post-pandemic, I assume. Post-lockdown is probably a better term. But looking down the road at some point, we hope it's sooner rather than later, we'll be in a post-pandemic phase. Let's go to Lexington and Eli. Hello, Eli. Welcome to the program.
Thank you very much. I just want to thank Chef Lee for what he's doing. My concern is what are the action control system will be executed in the restaurant to prevent the coronavirus from spreading? Thank you.
I'm sorry, I didn't catch the last part of his question there. Stacy, did you hear that?
The action control system to prevent the spread of the virus, I believe?
Yes, yes.
Oh, you're still with us, Eli. Okay.
Stacey, what kind of sanitation system you are executing right now in the restaurant to prevent the spread of the coronavirus?
I see. Stacey, you want to address that?
Sure. Well, most of what is happening happens on an everyday basis prior to coronavirus. You know, there's always a cleaning and sanitizing schedule that restaurants utilize, typically multiple times a day, but every day. It's one of the last things that happens when a restaurant closes at night to get ready for the coming day. They're monitored by not only the local health department throughout the year, but also the federal the Food and Drug Administration guidelines. So with all that said, with the new guidelines that the state issued, in addition to cleaning and sanitizing that always happens, there are sanitizing stations available throughout the restaurant. The restaurant surfaces are wiped more often, you know, in between guests. If a restaurant does use tablecloths or linens, then those are changed with every guest and immediately put into a bin for the linen purveyor to pick up and take away and sanitize and bring back. Tables are wiped between every single guest. Menus, if they're not disposable, same thing, wiped in between every guest. Temperatures of the health of the staff are taken before each shift. They go through a series of health questions and are sent home if they're exhibiting any symptoms or if they say they've been exposed to someone or if they do, in fact, have an elevated temperature. And then also
they've got to have a plan in place for testing, where to send that person if they suspect that maybe they have been exposed to the coronavirus. So those are a few of the measures that are taken, and some places are going even farther above that and bringing in companies that clean and sanitize, you know, every few days or once a week, over and above what is happening on an everyday and really every hour or more often basis.
And Chef Lee, I think you said at the top of the program you're not reopening today, but you plan to in the near future. Have you begun the process of doing these things, these mitigation steps?
Yeah, no. All that and above. I think it's important too for customers to understand, and Stacy said this a bunch of times, but that as restaurants, we have, you know, we are probably one of the most scrutinized industries in terms of our sanitary processes and our cleanliness. And so while this is a new pandemic, these are extra safety measures that we have to take, and we're all taking it very seriously. You know, we've been doing this for years. You know, we have one of the most dangerous things in a restaurant is foodborne illnesses and cross-contamination. And in order for a restaurant to receive multiple deliveries a day through multiple chefs, you know, and to create an entire menu, is a very intricate and precise system that has many procedures already in place. You know, we have dealt with flus and colds. You know, every winter we deal with that. You know, everyone gets sick. And so we've already have procedures in place for that. This is more contagious. This is a more of a pandemic. This is more of an urgent and a critical, you know, specification. But we will deal with that too. But I just want to make sure that listeners understand that we're not overhauling the system in the kitchen, because there's not a need to. It's just taking the same safety measures that we've always been doing, but actually making them more accurate, more, you know, taking to a different level, being much more careful about it. But, you know, restaurant kitchens are really one of the cleanest places where you can go.
And you undergo regular inspections, too.
Yes, regular and random inspections, right? So there's no preparing for it. So restaurants have to be prepared all the time. We undergo anywhere from 3 to 4 random inspections a year by the health department. And you, as you see, every restaurant has been posted in front of their windows now. So you can see that, you know, and it's, I understand that it's going to take time and a lot of effort to win back the consumer confidence. For something that we never did wrong in the first place, right? This was just a global pandemic. But we are willing to put in the work, the effort, and to be transparent, most importantly, about our procedures, what we're doing, how we're doing it. You know, we always invite anyone to take a kitchen tour at my restaurants and come in and see what we're doing and see exactly how clean we are. I think it'll go a long way to building confidence in the consumer to know that, like, we feel safe. I feel safe eating at other restaurants, you know, the people that I know, and we hope everyone will too.
You're listening to In Conversation on WFPL. We're talking about the reopening today of Kentucky's restaurant industry with Chef Ed Lee, Stacy Roof, President and CEO of the Kentucky Restaurant Association, and Amy McNatt is here. She's a Senior Vice President at Doe Anderson Advertising Agency and Director of Strategic Planning. And she's been talking and thinking about some of the trends we're going to see in a eventual post-pandemic era, in the post-lockdown era. And one of the things you talk about, Amy, I thought was good, that it's really not specifically consumer related, but it's more of a general attitude of people. Is one of the 7 trends is from me to we. Talk about that.
Yeah, I think that this is one of those that is a little bit heartwarming in a time when people might be feeling a little bit down. And again, you know, just to reiterate, there is sort of the post-quarantine, post-lockdown era, but there's also the post-pandemic era. Mm-hmm. And these trends, we really believe, will extend well past, you know, the next 2 years. This is an event that is truly shaping and reshaping how people think and what their attitudes are, you know, from now on. And one of these attitudes that we've identified is this notion of shifting from sort of a self-first mindset to a community-first mindset. And it's really born out of the realization that public health is personal health. And if you extrapolate that out, there's a shift in thinking that, you know, I have to take care of the community, because if I don't take care of the community, I'm personally at risk myself. So there's a little bit of a peek at this right now. So I think the restaurant industry is actually a great example of where this is coming out. We've seen this outpouring of consumers and corporations like Maker's Mark partnering with, you know, Chef Lee, that are really saying, we've got to step in, we've got to solve the community's needs. So it's important that we have set up all of these social media pages that look at local restaurants and where can I get takeout, because that is everybody taking responsibility to say, hey, if I want this amazing restaurant scene to exist when all of this is over, when I am personally ready to go back out there, then my job right now is to support them in any way that I can. You know, it is symbiotic. And so I think that we can see the tide kind of turning where, you know, focusing on the community's needs as a way to kind of, you know, meet your own needs is an emerging trend that we think will ultimately stick out. And we're excited to see that.
Chef Lee, just got about 30 seconds left. Can you tell us how folks can help and get involved with the help in the Restaurant Workers Relief Program and now the Reboot Relief Program?
If you go to our website, www.leeinitiative.org, we're in phase two of our program where we're finding that restaurant owners need financial help in reopening their restaurants, but also small farmers are in desperate need right now, because this is the time when they're selling their vegetables and meats and they have no customers. And so we're buying products from farms and donating them to small restaurants across America. So if you go on our website, all the details are there, and please help if you can.
I want to thank all of you for joining us, Chef Ed Lee, Stacy Rue from the Kentucky Restaurant Association, Amy McNatt from Doe Anderson Advertising Agency. We appreciate you being with us today. I want to thank also our In Conversation production team, Laura Ellis, Brad Yost, Russell Wells, Bill Burton. Our theme music was composed by Kojin Toshiro, and I'm Rick Howlett. Thanks for listening.